does resign, he won't get in trouble? Does he serve any purpose that? I just don't know enough about it. No, he said, I just don't know. I think, though, he ought to resign. And, of course, Bobby never did deliver the votes. Bobby was a Kerr man and was a Johnson man and was not in this coterie. And so they never could find out what was happening there. And they couldn't move their bills. It wasn't really Bobby's fault. Bobby tried to help. But they couldn't move their tax bill until Kerr got ready to move it. And they couldn't move other things until people got ready. And so they never did really move in legislation until I came in. But they were laying it on him. This Carmine, whatever his name is, he has done a good deal of that, and I believe now that he is doing it privately for our friend, for your friend's client.
That fellow who's an accountant?
Yeah. He was with the McClellan Committee. He's a chief wiretapper, and my evening reports show that he is accumulating the best wiretappers in New York, private ones, and putting them on his payroll now.
Well, I had one encounter with him, and it was about as distasteful an experience as I've had in one.
Well, he is busy at the private act now, maybe taking this conversation. I saw a memo last night, and you're the man, the enemy, the other side. He's aware of everything.
Uh-huh.
I say the other principal.
Yeah.
That they want me to talk to.
Yeah.
He is aware of all this. I get a report on him in the night reading everything. But Carmine is busy with employing these folks. And one of them was a big one that did a lot in New York, and he's recently gone to work for him, and I think he's doing some foundation work, maybe, for the Kennedy Foundation or the library. They kind of want a history of this stuff, I guess, how it originates. So. But anyway, that's what's going on. So I don't have much influence with him, and he's never talked to me about it, except when I sent for him, after failing to get the job done in 63 and skipping 64, in 65, I just kept hearing it, and they were calling me and raising hell about it. So I called Katzenbach and the other fellow over. And much to my surprise, because you and Abe and all of my friends had never entertained a very high opinion of this fellow. And you remember we talked about it time or two.
Yes, sir, we sure did.
And you just spoke very positively, and so did Abe, and so did Harry McPherson, and so did Bill, everybody around me. But I called him over there, and it was a shock of my life. He said, I don't think we ought to be doing this. I think we ought to, in case of the highest national security. I don't know what is that and what isn't. That's up to the Secretary of State and the Attorney General. But I don't want it done except by their specific direction, with their personal consideration of it, after they have determined the national security element. I never have wanted to do it. I think it's a mistake to do it. I wish I'd never done any of it, and so on and so forth. And Nick had to become the advocate and the justifier for it. When I listened to both of them, I said, I agree with Edgar, and I don't want any of it done. And I just wish you wouldn't do it, by God, in what you consider a great security case. And I sure don't want it done unless you personally look over it, Nick. Unless you study it yourself, unless you meet the Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense, and they conclude that the national safety is endangered if you don't do it. But I don't want any of this bugging. I don't give a damn whether it's legal or illegal. I just don't want any more of it done. And you go back, and Hoover just said, I agree with you. I just sure don't want it. And I just couldn't believe it. But the liberal took the other position, and Edgar took the Civil Liberties position, and he thought he's a member of the Civil Liberties Union. Now, maybe he was preparing his defense, but they went back and they drew up an order. It came over and it wasn't worth a damn, but he and Lee White messed around and argued, and finally I signed it. It was watered down, and Abe and them think it demonstrates intent mighty well. But they can evade it every way they wanted to. But anyway, I issued it and gave a press statement on it and made a speech to the Internal Revenue fellas and called Cohen over and told him if I ever caught him tapping one wire or putting one bug in, I want him to resign. I'd fire him forthwith. And I've done the same thing with Ramsey Clark and with the FBI people. Now, that is the only conversation I've ever had with Hoover. I don't feel like I'm in a position to talk to him. But here's what's happened on that front. Three nights ago at Sarge Shriver's house, Bill Moyers and Joe Califano and some of them were out there. And Makowitz, who is a public relations man for the senator, got a call from the senator, and the senator was very agitated and very upset. I didn't know he ever got that way, but I guess he's close enough to the president's seat, he wants to get prepared. Fella has to. So he told him that this was very bad, and for him to get in touch with Califano and tell Califano right away that it had to be stopped, and I could stop it. So Califano told me sure I couldn't, and sure I wouldn't, but he's glad to have the message. The next day, Dick Goodwin called and said that he was authorized to tell Bill Moyers that if the president didn't go into this thing and put a stop to it, that the senator had told him to tell him that, by God, he was declaring war. So you can imagine how that happy that made me feel. So Bill talked to me, and I told him I didn't think it'd be appropriate for the president to be trying to fix something. But what the question had come to me now was that they had sent a man over from the State Department who worked for Nick to rifle the files of the Justice Department at night, and with one of Bobby's ex-assistants, and they'd gone in and got an order issued in 62 that was really irrelevant.
Yeah.
But it fuzzed it up some, and they'd stolen it and taken it over and leaked it to Harwood of the Washington Post, and then demanded a press conference. And then I asked for the order, and the public affairs man told him they didn't give them out, so Harwood jumped up and jerked it out of his hip pocket and said, you won't deny this is it. And there was a Xerox of it. And I said, I just don't think we ought to be stealing files out. That's too much like the Dodge stuff, and I don't think that ought to happen. But if they're going to do it, I imagine this fella is going to answer him with a memo now and then, because he doesn't have to steal them, he's got them. And if they're going to be releasing them, I imagine he would release them. But anyway, it's something I'm not going to get into, not going to get close to, and if I did, I think that the fella would release my conversation the next day and say I tried to stop him. And I'm just afraid of it. So Bill called Dick Goodwin and told him, that he didn't think it wise to take it up with the president, that the president couldn't do anything about it if he wanted to, but that he doubted the wisdom of Senator Kennedy, and Bill has been going pretty close to Senator Kennedy. There's talk that they've got a deal on, and I think there's some basis for it. But he has, that he felt that Senator oughtn't to be calling up the White House and saying he's declaring war. And that if he wanted that message delivered to the president, that the president's phone number was number one, Johnson City. And he would always take any call from the senator. Or if he wanted to write it, he'd mark it eyes only, and he would be the only one to see it. But that he did not recommend it. But if they wanted him to deliver a message to the president, he would do it.
Yeah.
But he knew the man's personality, and he didn't think it was advisable. So he said, well, he'd have to check with his principal. And he came back and checked and said that he'd decided that he wouldn't go it this way, he'd pursue it another way. So I assume that this is the other way he's pursuing.
This is the other way, I guess. Well, my own reaction to it is that it isn't anything that you can touch with a 100-foot pole. You're not in it. You're not a part of it. If two individuals who are having some dispute among themselves, it's that who told who to do what. And it's got to be handled in such a manner that on the Hill, that it doesn't prejudice our position with a lot of our friends. They'd understand that pretty well up there. But I agree with the statement you made, that any kind of action on your part, by time it would received with the suspect. There'd be some charge that there was some kind of a cover-up going on. As far as I'm concerned, I think it's something entirely outside of the area in which you should be coming from.
I think you could very well say that you sure are. Do you think you can speak confidently that it is distressing to me to see an order issued to release one morning and a memo the next morning about the government in these things as it is to any of the principals involved, that I just don't happen to be the man that's issuing them, and that it's not something that I can really do very much about? I've been very, since Ickes was tapped the telephone wire back under the man that was my mentor and my guiding light and sent me through college, resigned as undersecretary because Ickes was tapping some PWA man's wire. I have been rather nutty on the subject. And so I think that we ought to say we don't want to promote it. We do agree that it is bad to be trying to get in public. We do think that anything that divides the Democrats is bad, particularly these television hearings and these other things. But we think that if we attempted that, it would be very explosive and that we have no real contact. And I doubt that I could have as much influence with him as he would have.
I asked one question one day, and that was whether or not the other lawyer's client ever thought that he might go sit down with the local man and talk it over with him and see if they couldn't reach some understanding about what was right for the public and what was wrong for the public, what was good for the country and what was wrong for the country. And he said, well, no, he hadn't really considered doing that.
No, he didn't want to. He is very vicious toward him. He came to me several times, said, since you came in here, I've got no control over this fellow. This fellow just runs over here all the time. I said, he hadn't been here at all. I haven't talked to him. He's not saying anything about you. Well, he said, he's reporting on me all the time. I said, no, he's not at all. Bobby said that to me several times about the other fellow. He was very concerned about him all the time he was there.
Well, I don't know just what it is that lawyer's client has to be concerned about, but there's no doubt at all in my mind that there is a very real concern.
One of the things is he got his signature on a tap on Martin Luther King. That's been going on 2, 3, 4 years. And they started this February of 61 when they came in. And the Martin Luther King one is, it'll make a better book in Manchester if you read the taps. And I would think would really rock a good many people. It's pretty hard to tie him in with the security of the nation.
I think what I'll do is agreeable. I'll wait a day or two and just call the fellow and just say that it is exactly as I had supposed. It's just a basis of which to insert any new figure in this situation.
I think you can say to him that you think I'd be just as happy to see it stopped as anybody, and I'm away and I'm down here. But you've talked to people that pretty well know the situation, and there's no intimacy there, and there's no contact there where he gets any directions, any orders from us. And we'd like to see the whole thing over with, the release of the, we thought when they released the 62 order it was a mistake, and because he'd have to answer it. We think that when one issues one, the other has to answer it, and it doesn't do any good. And we think that They ought to put a stop to all these controversies. That's what the staff people think. But we think, the staff people think, that if they talked to the man felt like he'd do anything, he'd be on the front page of the paper the next morning. He's trying to fix him, but he hadn't seen him. Only the last time he's had a visit with him, and only time he's had a discussion, was when Nick Katzenbach came over and they issued the Order 65, and they issued it because Hoover said he didn't want the authority. And I think I'd tell him that and say that, you know, that if we do have a chance, any opportunity we do have, that we'll certainly try to cool the thing off. We have no desire for an investigation or hearing or to embarrass anybody. And
I think that's very good.
On the other hand, perhaps, whether they believe it or not, perhaps just the two men sitting together would have more effect than anybody else, because these intermediate